Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine. Glory to God. Genesis chapter 28. Glory to God. Everybody there? Yeah, come on now. How many brought your Bibles with you this morning? Raise your hand if you did. Amen. Praise God. It's good to bring your Bible. Amen. Hallelujah. How many got your Bible on your phone? Hallelujah. That's an excuse when you say, I didn't bring my Bible, but I got my phone with me. Yeah, it's okay. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning. God, we know that without you, we can do nothing. Without you, Father, we're helpless, Lord. But your word has told us, you have told us that with you, we can do all things. So, Lord, we're asking you, Father, as we come to your word this morning, that you would, Father, show us, speak to our hearts this morning, Lord. We thank you for that, Father. We know, God, that you desire to speak to us this morning. So, Father, we just ask you, Lord, have your way with our lives. We thank you for it, God. We praise you for it. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. If you agree, say amen. Amen. Touch somebody next to you and tell them, hey, man, it's good to see you in the house of God. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It's good to see you here this morning. I'm going to back up just a little bit. Hallelujah. I'm going to start off with just a little bit of this story about Jacob, and he's on his way to his uncle's, where his uncle lives. And Jacob has just finished robbing his older brother of his birthright. Him and his mom plotted, and they tricked his father Isaac, and Isaac spoke the blessing over Jacob. And Rebecca, his mom, heard the servants talking that they had heard Esau saying, when my father passes away, he's a dead man. I'm going to go after him. I'm going to kill him. And so Rebecca, being a smart mom, said, you know what? Time for you to leave, son. Better get out of town because your brother's going to come after you as soon as your father dies. So that's where we're at. Jacob had not really heard anything from God. He'd seen God working for his father Isaac when there was wells that belonged to him to Isaac and Abraham that the Philistines were plugging up, and he saw his God work in their life, in his father's life, and he heard the story about how his grandfather had taken his dad up to the mountain without a sacrifice and made an altar and threw his dad on the altar and pulled out a knife and got ready to kill his dad. And then the Lord showed up with an offering, told him, don't do it. Is that a good deal? Saved that right at the end. And so he heard that. But Jacob really hadn't really had any kind of an experience with God. How many know it's important that we have an experience with God? Can I just say this to you, that unless you have an experience with God, you really don't get it? Is that okay to say that? Because God is experience. He is someone, he is a relationship. He's not a religion. He doesn't have a relationship with you personally. And so, and just as he had with Isaac, Jacob could probably say, well, I know God. He was my dad's God. But you know, God wants to have a relationship with Jacob. He wanted that. So here, Jacob, this is where we pick up the story, starting at verse 10. It said, and Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took the stones of that place and put them for his pillows. How many like them kind of pillows? How many anybody got, hey, honey, go get me a nice rock for tonight so I can sleep on. Hallelujah. And you know, now today, I was talking about this last, today, you know, ladies have so many pillows on the bed, it's hard to tell which one to use. Is that right? Yeah. So, can you imagine 15 rocks on the bed? Here you go. Pick one. Anyway. He put for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. Verse 12 says, and he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and on the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with you. I will keep you in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. Pretty cool. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning, and he took the stones that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar, and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel. Everybody say Bethel. Bethel means house of God. The name of that city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, I will and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone, which I have set for a pillar, shall be God's house. And all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto you. Praise God. Great story about Jacob's dream. How many of you know this is a story of Jacob's ladder. You guys heard that, right? And it's surprising to me that a lot of times in Jacob's ladder, you hear a lot about how the angels are ascending and descending. And it's almost somehow, it's almost something that takes away from the story, because the one holding the ladder at the top, did you notice? Who was it that was holding the ladder? Thank you, brother. Appreciate that. Dry preacher's got to have water. Amen. Come on. Yeah, some of you got that. I don't know. Anyway, what I love about this story is I love the angels. How many know angels are busy? The Bible says that they are ministers sent forth to minister to those that are heirs of the kingdom. How many, everybody raise your hand that's an heir to the kingdom. See, because you are an heir of this, and angels are sent daily to your place. How do you like that? Outside your house, you got an angel, pack of angels sitting out there, man, just waiting to do something. Hallelujah. They love you because God loves you. And they're watching over you, and they're taking care of you. They really are. How many know that? How many know you can speak to those guys and say, man, go out and go before my wife, and while she's driving, protect everybody around her because she's dangerous. Is that right? How many? Where's my wife? I better not get myself in trouble here. But you can speak to those angels because they are looking. They're listening. The Word of God says that they are listening for the word to come out of your mouth. Hallelujah. Most of the time they're looking for the word of God for you to be what you're speaking about, what God has placed in your heart. But I like the story about the angels. I really do. They're busy, busy guys. Thank you guys for watching over this place. Yeah, take a break. We're good. We got Linda, Sister Linda back there watching the place. Just come on, man. Hallelujah. You guys are probably, what's he talking about? Anyway. But what I really like about this story, it says at the top of the ladder is where God is speaking to him. And isn't this a beautiful place of where God is placing promises onto Jacob? It's a beautiful place. He says, hey, man, he goes, I'm going to bless you. Everywhere you go, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to be with you. Your children are going to be as the sand of the sea. There's going to be so many of them. And they're going to bless all the families of the earth. Isn't that cool? God is busy speaking blessing on Jacob. And it's because of a dream. In his dream, he heard these things. And it gave him confidence to take off and say, man, I'm gonna go to my uncle's land, and there I'm gonna meet with him and very possibly I'll find a wife. By the way, the reason that Isaac was okay with him leaving was because Rebecca had told him, I don't want to deal with the ladies that are around here. I want you to go. I want Jacob to find a wife over from the family side, over where Laban's at. Can we send him there? And so Isaac said, sure, send him. Rebecca was a crafty woman. How many know that? Hallelujah. I'd be careful with anybody named Rebecca. Praise God. Now my daughter's going to get after me. Praise God. But anyway, I love this story. I love this because it was a dream that motivated Jacob to go. How many know that I looked up dreams on the internet just to say, what does the world talk about dreams? What is it that they say? And this is WebMD. Does anybody go to WebMD? Don't raise your hand because I'm going to tell you, don't go there. WebMD. Try to diagnose your own. Your toe hurts, so you're going to go to WebMD to diagnose why it hurts. Don't. Anyway, another story. This is what WebMD says. Dreams. Basically, stories and images our mind creates while we sleep. Okay. Wikipedia says the purpose of dreams. A dream is a succession of images, ideas, emotions, and sensations that occur involuntarily in the mind during certain stages of sleep. The context and purpose of dreams are not fully understood. Very much saying they don't understand the dreams. Although a topic of scientific, philosophical, and religious interest throughout history of mankind has been, what are dreams for? Is that right? Praise God. And then that was Wikipedia. This is DreamCo UK, whatever that is. And it says, do dreams mean anything at all? The theory states that dreams don't actually mean anything. Instead, they are merely electrical brain impulses that pull random thoughts and imagery from our memories. This theory suggests that humans construct dream stories after they wake up as a natural attempt to make sense of it all. Do you get that? The world says, you know, they don't mean anything. But when somebody has a dream, the person that had that dream goes ahead and tries to build a story around their dream because in order to make them feel better. And you know what? How many agree? I really don't agree with what they're saying. Because the Bible gives us some very good implication of what dreams are about. Is that right? God, in his word, are many times that God used dreams. How about the story of Joseph and Pharaoh? Where Joseph had a dream when he was a young man. And in his dream, he was telling his family, my staff, it stood upright. And then all of your staffs bowed down to me. You remember that? His whole family got, oh yeah, who do you think you are, man? And all Joseph was doing was telling them a dream. I don't think it was in Joseph's heart to go after his family that way. But nevertheless, his brothers didn't like it. And while he was going to go visit them, they said, hey, here comes that dreamer. Let's throw him in a pit and we'll figure out what we're going to do. A couple of his brothers wanted to kill him because of it. Isn't that crazy? Because of a dream. Well, before they could even go back to the pit, he gets snatched by some other folks, take him into Egypt, ends up in a house and ends up in prison and ends up talking to Pharaoh's chief butler and baker. And these two guys aren't looking too good one morning, and he looks at them and goes, hey, fellas, what's going on, man? They say, hey, we dreamed. He goes, hey, tell me your dream. So the butler tells him, hey, wow. I can't even remember what the dream was. But he says, he goes, hey, this is the interpretation of the dream. In 3 days, God's going to restore you to your kingdom, to your place of being the butler. So the baker, he goes, hey, man, this was my dream. Let me tell you about it. And he tells him his dream. He goes, boy, you know, I'm sorry, man, but in 3 days, Pharaoh's going to remove your head. And what? And those in 3 days, those things were done just like Joseph had said. Well, the butler, who was always at Pharaoh's side, forgot about it. And Joseph had told him, remember me when you get restored to your position. Time goes by, and Pharaoh has a dream. Pretty cool. And the butler remembers, oh, I remember a guy in prison that knows how to interpret dreams. He called Joseph up. Joseph interprets the dream and becomes a very prominent man, the second in position next to Pharaoh of Egypt because of a dream. Do dreams mean anything? I'm going to tell you, yes, they do. You remember the Daniel and Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar had this dream, and he forgot it. Isn't that cool? I love the way God operates. How many of you remember all your dreams? How many remember some of your dreams? Does anybody come on, after today, I'm going to tell you, when you have put a piece of paper and pencil by your bed, and when you have a dream, go ahead and write it down before you go back to sleep while it's still fresh in your heart. Because you're going to see after today, you're going to find out that maybe God might be speaking to you, okay? It's cool. So Nebuchadnezzar has this dream, and he can't remember it, so he calls his soothsayers, his astrologers, and all these guys. And Daniel was part of the wise men of that time. And the king tells him, I need you to tell me what my dream was, and then tell me what it meant. And these guys go, what? Are you kidding me? He says, no, I'm not kidding you. I want to know what it was and what it meant. Well, tell us a dream. Hey, I can't remember it. But I know it was a powerful dream, so I need you to tell me what my dream was. And they said, we can't do that. Nobody can do that. Only God can do that. And there's nobody on the planet that can do that. Oh, yes, there was. Isn't that right? Daniel was there. The Bible says that Daniel was a man of understanding and interpret dreams. So Daniel went in and says, well, hold on, king. Because the king said, okay, you know, why am I paying you guys? If you guys can't tell me, if you magicians and you guys can't tell me anything, why am I paying you? I'm going to kill all of you because you guys are just wasting my time. Why am I even talking to you? Daniel goes in and says, hold on. Don't kill them. Give me a few days and I will come and bring you an answer. Daniel took him after a few days, got his brothers together, and he said, hey, let's pray. What is God saying to this king? God gave him the answer, told him what the dream was, and told him what it meant. And he went in, and it wasn't Pharaoh, it was Nebuchadnezzar, made Daniel a prominent man. Can I tell you, dreams are vehicles? Can I say that? They're there to take you someplace. Do you hear that? Hallelujah. I want you to look at this one just for a second. There's a story where Sarah and Abraham are journeying. God had told them to get up from where they were, and he wanted them to go. And so they're journeying, and they enter into this country called Gerar. And there's a king there. And his name is, I can't remember, Abimelech, I think it is. And Abimelech the king, yeah. He looks at him, and Abraham's watching as Abimelech is looking at his wife, Sarah, who is at this time probably about 90 years old, and got this king checking her out. Isn't that weird? What? So the Bible says that Sarah was a very beautiful woman. So Abraham tells her, hey, look, man, tell everybody around us that you're my sister. Okay. So she does. The king hears that she's his sister. So guess what the king does? He sends for her. Hey, go get her. For me. This king wanted Abraham's wife. And I want you to look at this scripture. It is, write this down for you. I mean, it is Genesis chapter 20, verse 3. Check this thing out. He takes her and then says, but God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, behold, you are but a dead man for the woman which you have taken, for she is a man's wife. Isn't that crazy? How would you like that? God said, but you're a dead man. God come to you in a dream, you're a dead man. Come on, man. I said, when Abimelech, he really did. He goes, hey, I didn't know. He told me she was his sister. And God said, I know that. You did that in the integrity of your heart. Go ahead, return her to him, and I will not kill you. Amen. I love God. Can I tell you, God watches over his people? Even when they do dumb stuff. How many ever done dumb stuff? Anybody ever done stuff? Dumb stuff. Done stuff. Am I saying done? Dumb stuff. Praise God. God watches over his folks. Is that right? He watches over you. Glory to God. How about Mary and Joseph? Joseph, not knowing, what's going on. Mary's pregnant. What is this? In a dream, an angel spoke to him, say, hey, do not be afraid to take her for your wife. Wow. Later on, when she had Jesus, the angel came to him again and said, I need you to take your son into Egypt and hide them away for a while, because Herod was out to kill him. In a dream. Can I tell you, dreams are vehicles. It's a vehicle for you. Hallelujah. Watch this. I'm starting to feel this thing, man. Let me tell you this. Let's look at Job 33, verses 8 through 18. I love this story. It is about, how many love the story of Job? In the story of Job, there's three guys that come to actually comfort Job. Is that right? And somewhere in there, with all their comforting, Job tells them, you guys are miserable comforters, man. Who sent you, man? But there was actually a fourth guy in there. This guy's a young guy. His name is Elihu. And he's listening to these guys speaking to Job. And he says at one place, he says, man, I'm a young man, and you guys are older guys. I thought it would be very inappropriate for me to say anything. He says, because you guys are the wise guys. You guys are wiser than me. It's very inappropriate for me to say anything. So he kept quiet. But finally, after all the talking had been done, Elihu stands up and says, hey, I got something to say. I can see that now all wisdom is in the age. Can I tell you, young people? Hey, man. Sometimes, guys, sometimes I ain't got it all. And sometimes God will speak to you guys, and he'll say things to you. And he will. And the word of God says, let anybody despise your youth because you're young. Because sometimes your thoughts will say, you know what? Maybe this is what God wants me to do. And us old folks sometimes might try to shut you down. Oh, no, we don't do it that way. No way. Glory to God. But I like what Elihu tells Job. Starting at verse 8, it says, surely thou hast spoken in my hearing, and I have heard the voice of your words, saying, I am clean without transgression. I am innocent. Neither is there iniquity in me. Behold, he finds occasions against me. He counts me for his enemy. He puts my feet in the stocks, and he marks all my paths. This is what Elihu is telling Job. He says, I've heard you say this. This is what you said. He said that he's watching for you, and he's marking all your paths, and he's looking for something to get you on. How many ever felt like God was looking for something to get you on? He's not. He really isn't. He loves you. And this is what Elihu is about to teach these old guys. And he says this, I will answer you that God is greater than man. How many believe that? Do you believe it? Do you really believe it? Or do you believe that your plan's better than his plan, so you're going to forget about his plan? Come on, I'm talking to you now. Come on, man. Do you believe that his ways are better than your ways? Or do you want to just go your own way? Oh, come on, man. Hallelujah. Don't get mad at me now, because I'm preaching at you. Hallelujah. He says, behold, in this you are not just. I will answer you that God is greater than man. Why do you strive against him? You know, sometimes the ways that we're going, we're actually fighting against God. God's trying to get us somewhere. He has created vehicles to take you someplace. And you're fighting him. You're fighting him. You're resisting what he wants for you. For he gives not account of any of his matters. Do you like that? I like that script. I like that verse right where Elihu tells him that, you know, God does not give an account of anything he does. He doesn't have to. Doesn't have to. How many say amen to that? God does what he wants to do. Do you guys believe that God is good? He's good. He does what he wants to do and how he wants to do it. Can I tell you, this world is headed for a place that is according to what God has planned. Do you know that? Do you understand that? The quicker we understand that, the better, the easier it is to get into the vehicle and let it take you. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Well, maybe not. That's okay. We'll get it. For God speaks once, yea, twice, yet man perceives it not. Sometimes God's been talking to you. You won't hear it. And he says, then in a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon men, in the slumberings of the bed, upon the bed, then he opens the ears of men and seals their instruction. Do you hear that? Can I tell you that the scriptures give us an idea of what dreams are about? It is God giving instruction. Instruction. Not all the time. Like Pastor said last week, he said, man, sometimes it's bad pizza. Sometimes it's you know, whatever. But God gives instruction in dreams. He does. He seals his instruction that he may withdraw man from his purpose and hide pride from man. He keeps back his soul from the pit and his life from perishing by the sword. All this done can be done in a dream. God is trying to get you to somewhere, take you someplace, get pride out of your heart. Because how many of you know that pride is one of the killers for today? People get so proud, they don't want to hear anything. They don't want to know what God is saying to them. God might be saying, forgive by his Holy Spirit. Oh my goodness. Uh-oh, somebody in here is not forgiving. Come on, man. Come on, somebody. He might be saying, forgive, forgive. And you're saying, no. God is trying to move you into the right direction. Oh, I was looking at something the other day. Just how many know when Peter confessed who he thought Jesus was? You remember that? Jesus had said, he goes, who do men say that I am? And he says, you know, and they said, well, some think that you're Elijah. Some say that you're maybe, you know, what, the prophet. And then Jesus asked him he goes, who do you say that I am? It's very personal. Who are you saying that I am? Peter's standing there. And he finally opens his mouth. I think he's a little timid about it, but he says, you're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. And Jesus goes, blessed art thou. Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you. But my Father, which is in heaven, he revealed it to you. And I love that. And then he tells it, and upon this rock, what rock? The rock of revelation, about what God has shown this man. Upon this rock, I will build my church. Revelation. Not upon man and what man says it is supposed to be. It's upon revealing what God reveals to you about who he is. That's what he's trying to build his church on. And the Bible says that gates of hell will not prevail against it. You know what the gates of hell are? It's death. You know that death is the entryway into the gates? And he says the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Not even death will push against this thing because it is life and life more abundantly. But what I really loved about it was Simon. Do you know what Simon means? Hear, O Israel. That's what it means. It means he that hears. That's what Simon means. Simeon, one of Jacob's sons named Simeon, his name means hear, O Israel. Israel. Whenever you hear a name like Simon Bar-Jonah, The bar part means son of. Okay? Son of. Do you know what Jonah means? This is what I really liked when I was looking at this. Jonah means dove. Jonah is a dove. When Jesus come up out of the water, what came down was a dove. Oh, man. Study the dove. It is the Spirit of God that speaks to us, and he tells us this is the way to go. Walk in it. Sometimes it can be a hard way to go, but he's saying, I want you to walk in it and just walk, and you'll watch what God does. It's pretty cool. Simon Bar-Jonah, I loved that man. Because God is trying to lead us and guide us by his Spirit. Hallelujah. Check this out. Joel chapter 2, verse 28 says this. Joel chapter, and it shall come to pass afterward. Check out that word. It says afterward. That I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Now look at this. Your old man shall dream dreams. Is that right? Shall dream what? Say it again. Who's going to dream dreams? The old guys. Is that right? And your young men shall see visions. Is that right? How many of you are still dreaming? Any old guy in the house still dreaming? You see, because I say, Lord, well, I'm an old guy. And the Lord says, yeah, but I've renewed your youth as the eagles. Hallelujah. So I'm still young, and I can still dream. And God's going to give me visions. Hallelujah. And he has. I want to put up Acts chapter 2, talking about the same scripture. This is what it says. In Joel, it says, it will come to pass afterwards. Peter says it a little bit different when he says, it shall come to pass in the last days. How many of you believe this is the last days? How many believe that? How many of you know that things are winding up? God is doing things in the earth today. And his glory is going to cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Just as he said. He said it's going to happen. His glory, folks, is his Spirit. That's his glory. And it's dwelling in you. And it needs to be seen. The world needs to hear and to know that God is who he says he is. He is King of heaven and earth. He's the creator of heaven and earth. And that's who he is. It says this, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, that I'll pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall what? Dream dreams. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I love to dream. I love dreaming. I do. I try to remember my dreams. I try to follow my own instruction by, hey, keep a pen by your bed. The pen's there. The paper's in the drawer. But, you know, I don't know about sometimes when I get it and I go, oh, yeah, I'm going back to sleep. Go back to bed. It's tough. Some folks get up, man, and there's been times. But there was one time I was laid off from the mine and working at a garage here in Green Valley at Green Valley Auto. And I was working in there. And I used to think about working back up at the mine, but the thing was I was injured at when it was Duval. And Duval, when they were recalling all the guys, because there had been a layoff, they were recalling all the guys. And when I went to check, because guys were calling me up, Henry, where are you? How come you're not here? I said, I don't know, man. They haven't called me. Well, go find out. So I went down to the employment office in Tucson. And I said, hey, man, I used to work at Duval, and I've been laid off. And I'm wondering why there hasn't been a call, why I haven't gotten a call. And then the guy tells me, well, sometimes it's pretty easy. Did you miss a lot of work? I said, never did. Didn't miss a day at all. He said, well, did you, were you insubordinate? Were you kind of a back talker and stuff? How many, there's no back talkers in here, is that right? None of you talk back, right? Come on, man, hallelujah. Have you ever seen somebody talking back to their boss? And doesn't that feel weird to you? What are you doing, man? You're talking back to them? You can't. But, you know, he goes, no, I wasn't. I said, no, I never talked back. I tried to get along with him. He goes, man, he goes, well, there's only one more thing that I can think of. Were you injured? I said, yeah, I was. He goes, oh, let me pull out the blacklist. Pulls out this, what they call the blacklist. My last name is Ayala. I was the third one from the top. Yeah, but your name's right here. They're not going to call you back, son. I said, all right. So I told Rosie, I got to find me a job, man. So I was working at the garage. And while I was there, I thought, man, it'd be great to get back to the mine. And God gave me a dream one evening. I had a dream. And in the dream, I was working again at the mine. And I remember watching this elevator light goes on. And this old guy that comes out of the elevator, I didn't even know who he was. His name was Charlie. Is that right, Yolanda? Charlie? He comes out and he steps into the... I was working on a pump. It's a pretty good sized one. And I was facing him as he walked up and he stepped down into the little platform where it collects overflow. He looked at me and goes, Henry, you're back. That was my dream. I go, so I remembered the dream as one of those dreams. Can I tell you, when God gives you dreams, a lot of times you're not going to forget it right away. He's going to speak it in your heart and you're going to catch it. And I thought about it. And a year went by, another year, and it was actually 3.5 years later that the mine had been sold. A company called Cypress had bought it. And so I hadn't really thought about going up there and putting my name in, but an old supervisor of mine come down to the garage and he put an application on my toolbox. I didn't know. I used to drive the tow truck for the garage, so I was out doing a tow run and came back, didn't know anything about it. Another week went by and he came down again and goes, you got that filled out. I go, what filled out? And my boss, his name was Bob Baker, he goes, sorry, Henry, I kind of hid it from you. I said, where'd you hide it? I threw it in the way. I threw it in the trash. He said, I didn't want to. He goes, hey, Henry, you don't want to go up there. He goes, next year, you're going to have 2 weeks vacation. Because I had been working there 5 years already. And I looked at him and said, Bob, if I go up there now, I'll have 2 years right away. 2 weeks of vacation right away. He goes, oh. So I filled it out. And my supervisor, he came down, picked it up. They called me, and I went back to work. And totally had forgotten about my dream. And it was one morning. I'd only been back maybe a week and a half, maybe 2 weeks. And I was assigned to go work on this pump with another young man. And so they sent us both up there. We set up. Had my back to the elevator. It was exactly the pump that was in my dream. I had my back to the elevator, and our supervisor came up. He goes, Henry, can you do this job by yourself? I need Arturo here to go run the crane for the guys that are... I said, dude, I can do this thing in my sleep. I was a braggart. I said, do it in my sleep, man. And he goes, okay, man, we'll leave you here by yourself. Are you sure you can handle it? I said, I can handle it. So I got my back to the elevator. I'm talking to him. He grabs Arturo, and they take off. And I'm working, and then I had to go to the other side of the pump to finish what I was doing. And when I stepped off that pad, all of a sudden I had this weird feeling. Some of you might, how many of you ever had a deja vu feeling? You ever had that? And that's what come on me. But this time, it came on me strong. I mean, real strong. And I'm going, man, this feels good. What is this? Go to the other side of the pump, step up on there, and I'm working on it, and I look. And just when I look, the light in the elevator turned on. And this feeling is just hitting me like crazy. I'm going, man. The door opens, and this old guy who I didn't know walks out. Walks right towards me. He goes to step down in the pad where I'm at, and he looks and he goes, Henry, you're back. And I'm looking, and I began to get this weepy thing. You know what I'm talking about? I said, I realized it was the dream that God had given me. And while I was weeping, the Lord said something to me. What I have promised, I will fulfill, Henry. Do you know that? Can I tell you, getting back to the mine, God placed me in a place where I eventually ended up as being the emergency planner for that mill, for the mine. And that position, I really do believe, prepared me for this here. I really do. I believe that God had to get me back there so that I could learn some things about future. Can I tell you that? A planner has to look out in the future, look at what he has, order all this stuff so that when this thing is broke down, all these parts are there. Otherwise, it breaks down, and now you're waiting for parts. And so God was showing me something. He showed me it's so important that you look out into the future. Do you know that God had given me a word as a pastor here, and it's in Peter. And the word God says that. It says this. It says, don't be an overseer of the flock. Don't be trying to rule every aspect of your life. And how many of you know I'm not trying to rule you here? We at this church and the pastors that we have here, we are trying to build you up so that you can stand and walk in your own ministry, what God has given you. Do you know that God has given you a ministry? Do you know He's called you for a specific reason? Do you know that? Because He has. He's not playing around with you. He's saying, I've got stuff for you. You just got to turn your heart towards me, and you'll see that He does. Whoo, God. Hallelujah. Man, He loves us. And He prepared my heart as a planner to look into the future. And in Peter, it says this, don't be an overseer. And I know He was talking about those overseers in Egypt. They would whip those guys to make them build their buildings and their stuff. Don't be an overseer. He says, but be thou, He says, of a ready mind. I go, okay, what's a ready mind? I don't know what a ready mind is. And a ready mind is, it's two Greek words, is protothumia. Proto is ready, thumia is your mind, protothumia. Everybody say protothumia. Everybody say protothumia. That way I know you're listening to me. Hallelujah, you're not asleep. Glory to God. Protothumia. The proto means, just like a prototype. It's the first thing that's made. Is that right? Is that right? You got a prototype. It's the first ever built, ever been. This is the prototype. It's that thought plus your mind. The first plus your mind. So what God was telling me, says, Henry, you have to look out, forward, and bring it back to today so that people can hear it. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? I said, I think I do, Lord. He says, no, I'm serious. He says, you got to look at it and bring it into today so that your people will hear and understand it. Can I tell you that a shepherd does that all the time? A shepherd will take his flock into a field, close the gate on it, and walk and say, okay, because them sheep are hungry. How many are hungry sheep? What do hungry sheep do? They eat all the food. Is that right? So he has to be ahead. As soon as they finish here, I'm going to take them over to that field over there. And when I get them in that field, I'm going to take them to this field. And when they get in that field, I'm going to take them over to this field. And you see what God is doing. He says, you have to be ahead, way ahead. Bring it back to today. Let me tell you something. Dreams are vehicles for you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's what God did with me. And God has given me a lot of dreams. He really has. Things that, man, that have kind of, whoa, that's weird. God's given me visions. Two very specific visions concerning this house. But He wants to do the same for each and every person that's listening to me this morning. He wants to do that. I want to show you something. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. I want you to write this down. Look at this. It says, but as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. Do you see that? God has prepared stuff for you. Hasn't entered into your heart yet, hasn't? And He says, but God has revealed them to us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. See, God is trying to get you to understand it. I want you to know the things that I have for you personally. Can I just say this to you? It's not right that you should be waiting for somebody else to tell you what you are. Is that right? Is that correct? It's not right for anybody to be saying, hey, man, this is you. You're not supposed to be doing that. You're supposed to be listening for what He's going to say to you, because He's got great things for you. He's got things that will boggle your mind. You're going to look and you're going to say, no, I don't know about that, God. And God says, yeah, you watch. You did that with me. And here I am standing in front of you, who would not talk in front of anybody, who was, I still am jittery back there before I come up here. wondering, God, are you going to open this so that I speak according to what you want me to speak, or am I going to look like a clown? I told my wife, a payaso. Is that right, Ruben? Payaso? Un payaso. Man, you're a clown up there, man. Oh, man. But the anointing of God is what I'm after. I'm after what God is wanting to give to you. So when I come and I study, I said, Lord, what is it that you want? He says, tell them that I am trying to get things to them. I will use any vehicle that I can to show them who they are. You're stronger than you ever thought you were. Do you know you got more in your intellect than you ever had because of the Spirit of God that dwells in you? Do you know that? Hallelujah. It's not by might. It's not by power. But it's by my Spirit is what God says. Hallelujah. You are so, so incredibly designed by God. Don't sell yourself short. Hallelujah. I want you to check this out. Hallelujah. Now comes the fun part. You got to give it up, though. Hey, how many of you say, yeah, come on. Can I just say this to you? Like I said earlier, sometimes we think we know exactly what we need. And you know, can I tell you? God might be saying, you got no idea what you need. Do you know that? And so what God is just asking, he says, just turn towards me. Turn your heart towards me. Glory to God. Well, look at this verse. You have to give up. 2 Corinthians verses, chapter 6, verses 11 through 12. It says, O Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. Can I say the word of God says this? Open your mouth wide and I will fill it. Can I tell you, I can preach up to you, up here to you till I'm blue in the face. Is that right? Till I'm blue, I can grab every one of these kids to say things to you, to make you to understand that God has so much for you that you've got no idea what he's, if you're breathing today, he still has stuff for you. Is that all right? Come on, man. And here I am. He says, I'm speaking to you. My heart is open to you. I'm speaking these things to you. And he says, you're not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own what? The affections. Uh-oh. Oh, no. Everybody say, oh, no. He's going to come after us in our affections. Yeah, the Holy Ghost is after you in your affections. He wants you. He wants you to know that the things that you might be doing that are wrong are not helping you. They're hurting you. Is that right? That's what he's saying. That's what he cares about. He cares about you not being hurt anymore. He cares about you knowing what he has for you and growing into it. Look at this next scripture. It says this. 1 Peter 5, 6 says this. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Can I tell you, can you see a pattern in that word? He says, humble yourself so that he can do what? What does he want to do? He wants to exalt you. He wants to bring you up. He wants to strengthen you. It's a great thing. The word of God says this. He says, my ways are not your ways, and my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your ways. So what he's trying to do is exalt you, bring you up into what he's thinking for you. It's an incredible thing. Hallelujah. Watch this. Job chapter 30. We're going to go back to Job and see what Elihu says here. This is what he says. He is talking about God, and he says, he looks upon men, and if any say, I have sinned and perverted that which was right, and it profited me not, he will deliver his soul from going into the pit, and his life shall see the light. Do you see what he's saying? This is Elihu speaking to Job, and he says, if any man will say that I have sinned, God is one that will pick you up out of the pit and set you into life. Isn't that cool? That's beautiful. And then he says this, lo, all these things works God oftentimes with man to bring back his soul from the pit to be enlightened with what? The light of the living. Can I tell you something? That light of the living is his plan for you. The understanding of what he has for you. Can I get everybody to stand here? Hallelujah. Listen to me. God wants to take you to everything that he has for you, but there has to be something within you that's willing to go. There has to be something that says, God, I don't want to keep going the way I'm going. And I'm speaking to some of you today that have never given your heart to the Lord completely. I'm speaking to some of you that are holding back and saying, you know what, you know, I can go to church and I can, you know, I can pray a little bit, but you've never ever given that over, that thing, whatever it is, you've never given it over to him. And God is saying it is that thing that can be hindering your exalt being exalted in the kingdom of God. It can be. So I'm going to just a prayer right now for you. And if there's, and I'm going to ask everyone to bow their heads and repeat after me. And please repeat after me, because I want to tell you something. There might be somebody next to you, behind you, in front of you, that needs to hear these words, that wants to say these words, but yet they're just a little bit shy. And I want you to help them in just repeating these words. Dear Lord Jesus, forgive me. Walking without you has not profited me. Forgive me, Lord. Lord, I give you my life. I turn to you and I ask you to come into my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And I'm not done. Come on, man. I'm not done. If you said that prayer and you've never given Jesus a chance in your life, I mean, I believe that God has spoken to you and you said that with all your heart. I will tell you, my friend, young man, young lady, you are saved. He's delivered you from the pit. Isn't that cool? Praise God. Hallelujah. But I'm not done yet. I'm not done because God said this. Listen, my people can be the stiffest ones at all. Can I tell you that? Is it okay if I tell you that? My people, God says, can be the stiffest, the hardest ones at all, resisting me in every step. So I got something I want you to read. Hallelujah. This is Galatians, and it is actually verses, chapter 5, verses 16 and 17, but to make it easier to understand, I'm going to flip those, and we're going to read verse 17 first, and then verse 16, so you can hear what's being, this is actually the Passion Translation to help you understand. But folks, listen, those of us that are Christian, when I read this, God came all over me. He says, look, tell my people that I see everything going on in their lives. I do see it. How many of you know that you can't hide from him? How many of you know that your imaginations are not invisible to God? He sees them. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Here's verse 17 of Galatians chapter 5. It says, from now on, let no one bring me trouble or criticism, for I am carrying the very scars. Is this it? Pat, is this Galatians 5? I need a phone. Somebody give me a phone with a Bible in it. Rebecca, I don't. Let me see verse 16 there. I need the Passion Translation. Can you get my, does that have the Passion Translation? Is this mine? Terry, let me see verse 16, if you will. Hold on, folks. I'm sorry. Get that back to me. I'm going to read verse I'm sorry, Terry, I gave you the wrong scriptures. This is my fault. Verse 17 says this. For your self life craves the things that offend the Holy Spirit. I'm going to read that part to you again because I think it's important, because when I read this, and I felt the Holy Spirit saying, tell my people not to be so unyielding to what I'm trying to do in their lives. And this is what he says, verse 17, your self-life craves the things that offend the Holy Spirit and hinder him from living free within you. The Holy Spirit's intense craving hinder your old self-life from dominating you. So then, the two incompatible and conflicting forces within you are your self-life and the flesh, and the new creation life of the Spirit. And then verse 16 says, as you yield freely and fully to the dynamic life and power of the Holy Spirit, you will abandon the cravings of your self-life. Is that cool? You will abandon the cravings of your self-life as you yield to the Holy Spirit. Can I tell you that God is trying to take you someplace? He wants to give you dreams and visions, but sometimes your self-life is holding you back. You're being held back by yourself. What you want about you, it's all about me. It's all about what I want. Nobody listens to me. Nobody cares about me anymore. Nobody. It's all about you, and you're focusing on yourself, and the Holy Spirit is saying, it's not about you. It is about my Spirit. Is about who God is in your life, and he wants to project you and take you someplace, but you are so focused on you, and the Holy Spirit is saying, repent, turn away from it, saying, I will not do this any longer, Lord. I will not focus on me, but I will focus on those that are around me. Can I tell you that God is looking to move us forward, but sometimes we're hindering ourselves and we don't even know it. So let's pray. Father, once again, pray. Father, I thank you for what you've spoken to us this morning, God. I thank you, Lord, that your ways are not our ways, that your thoughts are not our thoughts, but Lord, we want your ways and we want your thoughts, Lord. So, Lord, would you help us this morning? Father, we turn from ourselves. And, Father, we release, Father God, we release, Father God. We release, we yield to your Holy Spirit, Father, to do what he would have us to do. We yield to your Spirit, Lord. Lord, to be taken where you want us to go, where you desire for us to be at, Lord. We thank you for that this morning. We praise you for it this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. If you agree, say amen. Amen. If anybody wants to come and pray this morning, the altar is open where you can talk to the Lord about what we just got to take.